Hey, everybody. Great show this morning. We hear about some new projects like Beyond Earth Land, which is a metaverse play. It catches my attention because after the person brings it up and we look into it, the community wallet for NFT Worlds, which is a top five metaverse play in the NFT space, actually swept the floor. So clearly some people are bullish on this project. I was not familiar with it. We discussed that in depth. We also talk about Tezos and how Tezos is an art platform and, you know, the kind of recent interest that people are taking in it and what's just going on there in general. It's definitely a solid conversation. And then our kind of usual chat about the current state of affairs in the NFT space, where liquidity is, how we're kind of still bleeding slowly in many ways. Overall, it's definitely a good show. As usual, our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app.
This is the NFT Morning Show. It's Tuesday, and this is the show that talks all things NFT market. We talk about what the stories are in the space. We talk about the action in prices in the market and, you know, who's doing well and who just isn't, you know? And as usual, there's a lot to talk about. Never a slow day in the NFT space, even in a bear market. You know, I'm Pio. I'm here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, Signal, King Kicks, Easy Eats Bodega, and some of our badass speakers, Depeche Node, Manny V, Quad, and the one and only Gene Parmesan. Very excited to hear from Parmesan today. And yeah, when you listen to this show, just understand that all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at the nifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. If you're interested in contributing to the conversation, if you're interested in contributing to market discussion, sharing your thoughts on the market without any agenda, no self-promotion, but just rather contributing to the conversation as if you're on a panel on CNBC or something like that, definitely raise your hand and come on stage. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what your thoughts on, what you're bullish on, what you're bearish on, and what you're thinking about the current state of affairs in the NFT market. Before we go any further, I will throw to the soulful man himself, Nifty Nick. What's going on?
Just as bearish as yesterday. I forget who we were talking to. I guess it was Elizabeth who was like, yeah, I listened to the show yesterday and I wanted to sell all my NFTs. And I was like, maybe that's because that's how I was feeling. Like maybe that was the general vibe. But so I sold all my NFTs. I don't own anymore. I'm just a poser now. So that's where we're at. Very exciting time.
Don't worry, you can use my profile pic. It's CCL, bro.
There we go. Excellent. That's perfect.
I mean, look, Elizabeth told us that after yesterday's show. That just means that in that moment yesterday, that's the way that we felt. And that and look, if somebody feels differently, and then they should come on stage and share why. That was just our genuine sentiment based on what we were seeing in the market yesterday. And that was, I mean, look, a lot of people in our Discord were talking about it too, just talking about, like, you know, where fair value is for a lot of these assets. I think that that's a big question, right? And that's something that we'll definitely, you know, dig into a little bit. You know, Kicks, you had a monster year in 2021, and then this year maybe has been not as profitable. Obviously, you're the CEO of a gaming company. You're a partner in this business. So there's a lot that you have going on. But I mean, I don't know. What are you feeling after yesterday's show? What are you feeling this morning about the NFT market? And this is before the weather report.
Yeah, man. I mean, I may be down a six figure this year, but, you know, that's just life. There's ups and downs. I'm not feeling too shabby. I mean, I feel like we've kind of been in this, you know, bear market, you know, feeling for a little while. I was actually thinking yesterday, Pio, kind of does remind me of a little bit of the Nifty Gateway era. A bear market, because with the Nifty Gateway bear market, the death blow at the end is the same as this time, which is that ETH ripped, and then and that was like the final like crush to you know, NFTs, because I remember the bear market started rolling over on Nifty Gateway in like March into April, and then that's when ETH went on that crazy run, you know, all the way up to 4,000 or whatever, going into, you know, May and then, or April, May, and then like rolled back down. So it's actually, it feels very similar to Nifty Gateway, where it's like that you're already getting battered by the NFTs going down. And then like the, you know, the knockout blow mentally is that then you watch ETH, you know, go on this big run. So it seemed kind of similar to there, but I'm not feeling like too bad at all, because I'm just seeing more and more interesting things happening in the space and interesting people entering into the space. So, you know, we've talked about that Digi Daku, whatever project, like that guy, Gabriel, one of the founders of Limit Break, is like the real deal when it comes to gaming. Like, this guy's the real deal when it comes to gaming. This guy coming into the Web3 gaming ecosystem is so bullish for the space, and is already talking about, you know, all sorts of like interesting concepts, like how play to earn can actually mathematically work and stuff like that. So I think that we're like in a building phase bear market where you know, there's going to be pain and there's going to be you know, like you know, depressing moments, but there's also probably insane opportunities that are like starting to form right now, where you really just have to be patient and stay in the game, because the worst thing you can do is kind of just completely leave the space and be like, oh, I'll check in when it's moving again or something like that, right? If you had done that after the Nifty Gateway bear market, if you said, oh, you know, I'm done for this for a couple of months, like I'll see you in August, you know, you would have missed Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? You would have missed some of the biggest gainers of 2021 just by sitting out for a couple of months. Now, that doesn't mean like staying in the game doesn't mean you have to just keep spending money until your net worth goes to zero or negative. But it does mean that you need to be like researching, keeping your ear to the ground, discussing NFTs, talking about NFTs, and the people that put that, you know, investment in are likely going to benefit when these big opportunities, you know, come across our way. So yeah, I mean, it's not a great market out there, but also like the more depressed people get, that probably means that we get closer to the bottom. So it's kind of healthy.
Yeah. I mean, look, so you brought up the Nifty Gateway bear market. I think the difference is that that was a shorter period of time when I sort of think about it. And there was crazy action in other parts of the market, aka Bored Apes, followed by Gutter Cats and the kind of profile picture bull run that you saw. Although, albeit that was, you know, that was gradual. You know, it took the whole summer before you saw the real like crazy blow off top. The thing about the Nifty Gateway bear market was that it got to the point where you'd be buying on the primary market. You'd buy like something on the primary market, and no matter what it was, it would just immediately start going down on the secondary market.
Yeah, dude, my last hurrah was like I threw 4K in on like a Jose Delbo open mint, and it negative 50%ed in like 2 hours.
Yeah, like that's what it was like. Even the Micah Johnson stuff, right, that eventually became, you know, the two of the prominent chapters to become like a moon god in the Aku ecosystem, that was at the bottom of the Nifty Gateway bear market. And I've talked about this before. That's why the supply on those, it's chapters 2 and 3, the supply on those is significantly lower than everything else because it came out at the bottom of that bear market. And even those immediately started going down in value. Obviously, when things picked back up because they were the scarcest and thus the bottleneck in the collection, they ended up mooning. I think the high for chapter 3 was like $50,000+, maybe even closer to like $70,000 when it was a $1,000 mint. So there were diamonds in the rough, but I feel like that was more of an isolated bear market on a platform and a model, the model being credit card purchases on open edition art pieces specifically versus like the collectibles angle that eventually turned into like big time $1 billion business, literally, right? So that I think the difference is that right now it's the whole, and this is like the cyclical bear market that we're talking about, right? So yeah.
And I mean, we're also dealing with like external circumstances, like with the, you know, overall world economy going through some really turbulent times. You'd have to imagine if we weren't going through all of this, we'd probably be coming out of the bear market already in NFTs, right? It's just that we're a very young market in a speculative market. So if there's a lot of shakiness on the world stage, that's going to impact us more. Doesn't mean that like NFTs are going away. I get more bullish on NFTs by the day, just with the people coming in the space. So I think this is healthy. We just need to flush out the jabronis and the, you know, and the grifters. We need to flush them out. We need to see the projects that actually know what they're doing. But there's going to be lots of new projects on the horizon. So make sure you got a little bit of liquid on the sidelines, because you're going to need it. There's going to be some really cool stuff happening.
Well, speaking of liquid, I don't know if it's going to be rain or snow or just, you know, bright sunny skies, but I wanted to throw to you for the weather report. This show started off with just me and Kix having a conversation in front of an audience. I guess that's pretty good, but Kix, please take it away, and I'm sure that Nick will chime in shortly after. I feel like Nick's bursting to say something. This is the longest that Nick hasn't spoken on the show before.
Let me speak.
I'm kidding.
So today is Tuesday, the 16th of August. Overnight volume on OpenSea, volume yesterday on OpenSea was 15.4 million. Last 24 hours at like 10 million. But we're getting, you know, volume on LuxRare did 3 million last 24 hours. Gem did close to a million last 24 hours. So volume still holding, you know, fairly decently day over day. When we look over at the leaders in the space, we have Apes trying to retake that 80 ETH floor. They're just below that. Mutants went down into the 13 range. They're trying to battle back. Last I checked, I think they're at 14.5. And then Punk sitting just below 70. Looking like we're seeing some stabilization in some of the other projects. So we have Moonbirds, you know, still hovering between 12 and 13 ETH. Doodles trying to fight above 7 ETH. CloneX trying to hold on to that 70 floor. There's been some decent action on CloneX. I think a lot of people are pretty bullish on that project. So they're catching some bids at this low price. Yuga Labs is leading the OpenSea ranks. What's new? Apes, Other Deeds, and Mutants leading the top three volume in OpenSea. As I said, Apes sitting just below 80. And Mutants trying to make a little surge back up. Another interesting point, the gap between Apes and Punks got very tight there for a second. It's starting to widen a little bit more. It's about 10 ETH apart. And on that note, Yuga Labs released the IP rights for Meebits and CryptoPunks. Meebits are got a license where you can use that just awesome that awesome blocky art. And from time to time, you'll be offered utility benefits or entitlements. Punk holders get a license to use the art, no mention of future utility or lunchboxes. Floor prices in both collections didn't change much upon the news, but I think that that was kind of a baked-in event anyway, so it wasn't like it was a groundbreaking thing. Cool Cats in the Hundreds teased an upcoming collab. Twitter post showed photos of merch featuring that cuddly blue cat. With the Bobby Hundreds explosion as the background, floor on Cool Cats sitting around 2 ETH. Overnight, there was a rare 1 out of 1 Coda that sold for 183 ETH. That's a nice, cool $347,000. The rares continue to have sales. Other Deed floor, still seeing a little bit of downward pressure, hanging around 1.75. Looking at the crypto markets, Bitcoin, ETH, they're chopping 5-ish percent off of their highs, sitting in a little range. Could go up, could go down, who knows? And then I saw a interesting news piece on my radar, but the one Moonbird that was actually trying to get a licensing deal for their Glitch Moonbird actually closed the licensing deal with the Glitch Moonbird and the Bored Ape. And
this is the six-figure deal that was basically used as an example of what goes wrong, like when this happens, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and the deal still went through, and the brand is licensing or using the Glitch Moonbird. So, okay, of course, a bunch of people on Twitter are like, oh, you got to make sure you tell them it's CCO, you know, and, you know, it's the public domain. You can't give that away. That's ours. All sorts of stuff like that. But still got the deal going through. So that's pretty cool and interesting. Yeah. What else do you got on your docket over there?
Yeah, just to add, great weather report kicks. So the Nifty Daily Digest, it's written by Signal and sent out 5 days a week. You can sign up at thenifty.com, and you totally should. It's our newsletter. A couple of noteworthy stories is this is for all the Ethereum holders out there and the Ethereum speculators that are wondering what's going to happen going into this merge. Apparently, an Ethereum whale wallet that actually participated in the Genesis ICO and obtained 150,000 Ethereum in 2014 became active for the first time after 3 years of being dormant. Speculators are claiming that the whale may be preparing to dump before the merge. So I think that that's totally possible as well. Kevin O'Leary, known from Shark Tank and just from entrepreneurship in general, someone that at one point was a Bitcoin and crypto skeptic, but has really dove headfirst into the game. And in my opinion, is a bigger thought leader than like Mark Cuban, for example, who was vocal last week about Metaverse Land, said that sacrificing the Tornado Cash founder is worth it for institutional adoption, and suggested that this was a necessary sacrifice to create stability for institutional inflows. If you don't know, Kevin O'Leary used to call all these assets crypto crap. He questioned Anthony Pompliano for having over 50% of his net worth in Bitcoin in a very vocal way, and then totally got orange-pilled or red-pilled, whatever you want to call it, and now has a considerable amount of his net worth in not only crypto, but stable coins, Bitcoin, Ethereum. It's unclear whether he has exposure to the NFT space, but definitely, you know, has come along in a big way and is now really a champion of crypto and is interested in seeing more institutional adoption and expects it. And last but not least, on-chain sleuth Zach XBT, I wasn't familiar with this Twitter account, but I've since followed it, wrote a deep dive rug thread into the Winter Bears NFT project. If you guys remember that one, I actually think that I made money trading that project.
Yeah, man, that was a banger, dude.
Winter Bears.
Because it went to one Ethereum, if I recall correctly, from like a 0.05 or a 0.06 mint price. And it turns out that the project made $3.4 million on the primary sale. We've never heard that story before, right? We never heard of a project making $3.4 million or more on the primary sale. And then what a shock, the team disappeared for months. There was also some deceptive marketing. Well, if this guy, Zach XBT, is going to be writing these rug threads, he's going to have his hands full for a while. I think it's going to take a couple of years for him to catch up on all the rugs between July 2021 and February 2022, maybe even later. But yeah, those are your additional stories from the Nifty Daily Digest.
I got one more for you, because as you said yesterday on the YouTube show, we got to keep tabs on Solana and give a little love over to Solana. Solana's 24-hour volume was above $4 million, putting them 40% of OpenSea total volume. If you combine all of the ETH marketplaces, it's a little bit lower, but impressive volume over there. And of course, the biggest news event there right now, if you don't know, DGods is doing a secondary collection called Utes. They're giving away 10K to DGods holders, and it's going to be
not giving it away. They're still minting. Everyone has to mint, which is the big
everyone
thing.
Has to mint. Everyone's got to pay the piper, but 10K is reserved for them. The other 5K, they're scholarships. You could apply for college, or you could apply for a Ute.
You can apply to buy a Ute.
Yeah, we'll see what the youth focuses their attention on. But just to wrap up, the DGods, I saw some tweets. They're actually starting to break through the Ethereum blue chip, even though we're not sure what's blue chip these days anymore. Blue chip floor. So they, I think they passed Azuki in terms of floor price value, and they are approaching Clone X in terms of floor price value. So that's definitely a significant news event with the number one 10K project on Solana starting to break into the upper tier of valuation. So that's really cool to see for the Solana ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, look, so easy. Is this actually, like, how big is this project actually going to be? You know, I applied, I believe, for the allow list, or I don't even know if I finished the application, but I'm just trying to figure out, is this going to be a crossover thing? They have a mechanic in there so you can mint with Ethereum, so it kind of applies to the entire NFT market. Like, what is your opinion on this thing? Do you think it's going to explode? Do you think that maybe it's overhyped? What are your thoughts?
No, it's going to go crazy, in my opinion. They released a thing called the white paper, which is going to allow for interoperability of traits and actually allow one of one artists and other artists to create their own trait assets and sell those as like a secondary market within the NFT itself. So that's like just one cool piece. Frank has a ton of ideas for business to business as well for like additional revenue streams. And a lot of the stuff that he's been teasing has been like him reading game theory books and GameFi stuff to incorporate some form of gamification into this. It's a 15K supply, but what he continues to emphasize is that it's not the second collection, but rather its own entire project launched by Dust Labs, which is their overarching branch and company. I think it's going to live up to the hype personally. It's a really expensive mint, sadly. It's about 15 to 16 SOL, equivalent to about 0.33 ETH at current prices, because you have to mint in their utility token. So I actually posted a tweet yesterday about it, talking about like my play on the token. We've done some like on-chain analytics on how many wallets even have enough to mint the project right now, and it's still just around 50% of the total number of wallets. I still think this flies, just because the way Frank carries himself and presents information has people in the Solana ecosystem still like incredibly bullish on it all. So that's where I'm kind of sitting here. I have set a few numbers that I think it could get to. It's target 50, 60 SOL is kind of what I think we see out of the gate, which is pretty crazy. But we've seen other projects do significantly more, and this one's already coming from an established like leader in the space as far as the SOL is concerned, and coming from somebody who is very trustworthy when it comes to like actually managing a project so far. It's probably one of the best comeback stories in NFTs. The D-Gods were actually under mint and not listed on main marketplaces because they had what was called a paper hand bitch tax, where if you sold it for less than you bought it for, you paid a 33% royalty. So there's like a bunch of stuff that they've tried dynamic.
We need more of that, Easy. Could you say that name one more time?
Yeah, paper hand bitch tax is what it was called on pay, like literally written out. It was a 33% tax, and then some marketplaces couldn't support the smart contracts, so they weren't able to list it. As soon as they did away with it, the floor ended up just ripping. And that was actually, I have talked about them previously when they were sub 10 SOL, and it's just crazy to see them sitting at 300 and maintaining this floor.
I wanted to say, you know, unrelated to the Utes, which are clearly something that we're all going to miss out on, and I'm disappointed in the fact that I'm not on the list. I got to go through an application process. I don't know if I'm going to get into it. It feels like it's more competitive than Harvard. So I don't know. And I didn't get
literally
into Harvard.
Though.
I didn't get into Harvard. So, despite all of my enthusiasm. And so we'll see what happens there. And more shocking news though, this Winter Bears revelation, just absolutely shocking for me, because I expected all along that Winter Bears was a blue chip project, and here we are months later, after it's faded into irrelevance, and you're telling me this thing was a rug? I mean, geez Louise, seems like the only project in the space that's done this. So yeah, I mean, clearly
when Art Chicks just, you know, sweeps the floor and starts talking about it nonstop, you know, a good sign that you want to get in and out.
Yeah. You cut out there, but
good talk, Nick.
I forgot about the fact that Art Chick, that was one that she had. Wasn't it like that? Was this one of the ones that they rugged and then she hopped in?
No,
quote unquote. Okay, got it. Because remember, Art Chick saved multiple projects, quote unquote. I'm blanking on the names of those.
There were ones that our chick rugged, like hard rug, and then other people came in to save it. So you got to love those ones.
I mean, the whole space is, I mean, you could probably spend the entire year, and it kind of makes me want to just start posting screenshots of projects and just being like, you know, shocking after $2.5 million raised. You know, this team clearly has no commitment. Turns out that they were just delivering lies to us, which I was shocked by, because the team of anons that was running it, which felt afraid to actually put their name associated with this project, I thought they were going to show up for years to come and help us build build the future of NFTs. And instead, you're telling me they took the millions of dollars, walked away with it? This is just like, holy shit. I can't even believe it.
I mean, Nick, I'm on the same page, Nick. When I think of these anon teams that raised $2.5 million in one fell swoop because they hired a Fiverr artist and they had one guy that could make a smart contract, you know, template basically right out of the box, I picture like the scenes in Rocky or in Kill Bill where Sylvester Stallone's got the wheelbarrow and he's just grinding it out, or Uma Thurman's got the buckets of water on her shoulder. She's going up the hundreds of stairs. That's the effort that I picture them putting in there.
How about those non-Anon teams that also have rugged and are still operating today? That's the thing that's shocking to me. And then we were at that NFT dinner and I mentioned something. I'm not going to name the name right now because yesterday that already got me in enough trouble. But what I was going to say is basically I was referring to like one project and I was like, yeah, what happened to that one? And they were like, well, yeah, the team that person had associated with, you know, just wasn't able, there was a bug and, you know, so they weren't able to recover from that. And I'm like, oh, okay. So like I can just deploy a bug and that excuses the millions of dollars that I generated from it. And then I can proceed on to go develop new businesses in the space. That to me is the thing where it's just like, what? Like how
I didn't know Party Degens had a bug.
I wasn't even referring to Party Degens, although I forgot about that. But
Kicks really, taking shots. Go ahead, Nick.
Their floor is down to 0.09, though, so that's a solid, solid floor. So you can't really throw too much FUD at that. They're not down to negative 0.01 at this point. But, like, there's literally so many of these where I'm just like, yo, y'all raised, like, millions and millions of dollars. And, like, the thing that to me that's shocking is people that were minting and selling for – frankly, above 0.2. Like, if they were selling above 0.2 outside of artists who, like, if they're you're auctioning a piece, there's nothing wrong with that. Or just like selling a collection and people pay for it, whatever. That's like on the collector, because you're only supposed to buy it because you want to be involved in the art. Or you can speculate and get wrecked. That's on you. But for collections where the presentation is, this is a business, you're getting value, we're going to deliver something, and then they're just like gone. I don't know. It's just shocking to me.
Yeah, I don't care so much about the floor price, just as long as they're like putting in like a ton of effort, because like the market controls the floor price.
That's
like if you look at like Cool Cats, right? Like they went from what, you know, 0.02 to 10 ETH. Like, it's not Cool Cats, the company's job, to try to like magically figure out how Cool Cats can stay at a 10 ETH floor, you know, but their job is to build a great company. For me, it's the problems are when like the floor price is down and they kind of just YOLO'd out. You know what I mean? That's where it kind of rubs me the wrong way. But enough about, you know, us three up here. Micah G.
Yeah, we got Micah on stage. Man? What's going on, Micah?
What's up, guys? I did apply to the Frank's Utes thing. So just in case he's listening, nothing but positive things to say. But in case he's not listening, isn't there like a Duppies thing? Like basically has multiple collections that are...
This is Duppies.
Oh, wait. Okay.
They changed the name.
Confusions.
It's like a rebrand. Yeah, they didn't launch Duppies, changed it up.
You were gone for that month, Micah, so...
Yeah, I was driving across country, but kind of like on that
for a month,
in 10KTF,
yeah.
On that in 10KTF, I'm a little just like nervous about the one lever they pull is like, is minting more collections, right? So... The thing with the combat crates is the same sort of situation of like the one way to deliver value to current holders was just let's print off these new things. And I'm just worried a couple of these are getting up to like Pixel Vault level of we printed out 100,000 NFTs. You know, even Bored Ape Yacht Club is dealing with that. Of we printed out all these NFTs and we're still waiting to deliver something that isn't printing off more NFTs.
Yeah, and no one knows what that thing is yet. I think that's why the easiest thing for me to plug NFTs into from a utility perspective, like actual utility, is gaming. And I've tweeted about it. Whenever you tweet about that, what happens is there's like Web 2 gaming maxis. It's like, dude, if you told me that that was a thing, I would have never predicted that in a million years, that there's people that are extremely passionate about not integrating NFT technology into video games. Like, I didn't have that on my bingo card when I started tweeting, you know, when I came to the conclusion that the most kind of seamless way to integrate NFT utility is the game. But I think that's actually why, when you think about what Yuga Labs is doing, they probably got to the point where they were just like, yeah, I think a metaverse game is actually the most, it's like the biggest thing that we can do that's ultra NFT native and stays like in our wheelhouse. Because then, right, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum. I don't have to go into super detail, but it's like you own the land, other people play the game, they can get resources off your land or something, you benefit in every situation, you make money, right? The landowners make the most, or the PFP holders make the most money, and the landowners, blah, blah, blah. It's just a really natural way to integrate NFTs into something, and the utility really is just the people spending time on the game and having fun with it. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
My favorite utility is the bullshit that's being spouted about the future utility of some digital land. I'm sorry for my bearish comment, but it is kind of, it's ludicrous. The whole thing is fucking ludicrous.
You say it's like, ludicrous, but like, what if you owned land in Grand Theft Auto and everybody that plays land?
Grand Theft Auto, that would be dope. But Grand Theft Auto is not giving you a piece of their business unless you like buy their stock. So like,
that's the idea behind Yuga Labs. I'm not saying it's a guaranteed success, but that's like the idea. So you can be bearish. You're basically saying I don't believe that Yuga Labs will execute.
So with Yuga Labs, that's not what I'm saying. With them, I actually think like they're going to go build a game. Like the price is a little ridiculous. Like, okay, so someone last night, what was the amount? $300,000 or $340,000 that they spent on the Coda. It was one of the rarest ones, though. It was also on a rare plot of land. Whatever the fuck that means. Like, what are you going to, like, if you bought the rarest plot in Grand Theft Auto, or screw it, Fortnite, what's the next step to that like piece? Like you're gonna make $340,000 on that land. I guess the comparable,
that's their bet. That's the bet.
The comparable thing is the problem is that there's no reasonable position to be placing the bet at that scale this far in advance.
Oh yeah, Nick, how I would describe it is like, because there's been rare sales in non-NFT like digital games before, like Entropia, then way back in the day Second Life, they had six-figure, seven-figure sales of digital land. The key difference is that it was an actual existing game where you could kind of maybe model out a justification for the price, you know? So like, it would be like, hey, New York City's popping, I'm going to put a restaurant in here. What we're doing right now with the current metaverse land is we're like, there's like, they're going to build a town here eventually. I don't know if there's going to be people here or not. You know, I don't know what kind of food they want, but I'm going to like pre-buy the right to run a restaurant in this theoretical town 3 to 5 years in the future.
You're paying a premium over New York City real estate prices in some town in the middle, in like Oklahoma or something, which has not yet been developed, but they're making a promise that we're going to convert Oklahoma into New York City. That's what they're saying like right now. And you're paying more than someone will pay for the real estate in New York City today, where you could go and make cash immediately. But right now, instead, you're like trading the land in this remote area. And my apologies to anybody listening in Oklahoma. This is no disrespect to the state as a whole. I'm just saying you don't have the foot traffic that New York City has. Like, that's just an objective statement. And so you're like, I don't know what, you know, I don't know enough about Oklahoma, frankly, to provide any effective commentary on the matter.
I didn't have Oklahoma on my bingo card. But the
bottom line is, it's still absolutely ludicrous. And when we look at these things, I think in hindsight, we're going to look back and we're going to be like, that was dumb. Or that person is just a money launderer. Like, I have no idea, like, how we're going to look at that and be like, yeah, that made a ton of sense. In fact, I would argue at the beginning, there was a period of time there, and I'm blanking on the name of the Bored Ape holder. There was this guy that came in and started just buying a bunch of, like, above floor price, like, apes at ludicrous prices last year, which I think was, like, shocking to a lot of the people. And it sort of catapulted Bored Ape Yacht Club even further into relevance, because when you see these high sales, well, people discuss it, and more people that discuss it, the more relevant that it becomes, whatever. But it wasn't clear, like, who this person was. I DM'd with them about, like, interviewing them. I was convinced after, like, seeing their series of pictures and everything that this person just, like, worked for a mafia or something like that and was just, like, out there just washing money. Like, this is purely speculative, but it just seemed so ludicrous, like, the approach that was being used. And you got to ask, like, what's the rationale behind a lot of these different things? And by and large, there isn't. Like, the most easy explanation is most frequently the best explanation. It's different when we're, like, trading something that, like, is hundreds of dollars or even a few thousand dollars. But when it comes to hundreds of thousands of dollars, it gets to a level where it's sort of like, you got to wonder, what the hell is this person thinking? And either there's some deal that they have behind the scenes with Yuga directly, which I'm skeptical of, or there's something completely else going on, because it just doesn't make sense. Like, it's not from a business standpoint. Totally. It's completely irrational.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, I did some analysis, because, like, if the market cap for other deeds is like $350 million, and you assume that 10% of the whole ecosystem revenue would, like, flow to the lands, then the game would have to find $3.5 billion worth of revenue, which would make it one of the most successful games of all time, in order for you just to break even on your investment if land gets kind of like 10% of that value. But I'm sure everyone's bored to death hearing us rabble about Metaverse land. Should we kick it over to Manny?
Yeah, absolutely. But real quick, I just want to point out. So, you know, Nick, what you said is true about the money laundering. There's no question that there was so much nefarious.
I'm trying to get in on that game. Clearly, there's a lot of cash in it. What the hell?
Yeah, but I mean, it's just so easy right now with no regulation, anonymity on these blockchains, that it's easy to wash money. But, like, for example, let's look at real quick Cool Cats, right? Which right now have a 2.18 Ethereum floor. Obviously, I think the mint price was 0.02 after they made the price adjustment. It's, if you minted Cool Cats, it was one of the most successful projects that you could have bought, because it became, if I recall correctly, the third profile picture project to break 10 Ethereum. It was like Bored Ape Yacht Club broke 10 Ethereum. I'm blanking on the second project that broke 10 Ethereum, but then Cool Cats, CryptoPunks, like Bored Ape Yacht Club, CryptoPunks, and then Cool Cats, and CryptoPunks came first, right? So then Cool Cats were up at 10. There were legitimate buys over 10. Like, people were speculating that it was going to go from 10 to like 100, right? And if you bought a Bored Ape above 10, it actually was a good buy. So I think that, you know, that history, that previous activity was informing the speculators that bought Cool Cats over 10. And now that time has gone on, and this isn't me saying I don't think that Cool Cats is a good project. I mean, it's clearly a legitimate business. They're working hard. They have a ton of employees. It is a legit, you know, NFT business. But I'm just pointing out that from a speculation standpoint, buying it above 10 was not the right thing to do. Nick, what you're saying is that the person that's spending all that money on the land is wrong, and you could totally be right. And I bet you're right too. And maybe it is money laundering, but there's people that are making buys that are right, and people are making buys that are wrong. And I think some people are betting that the Metaverse land thing actually is a thing. And if anything, I would counter trade Mark Cuban on this. I really would.
I, look, I'm not saying that NFTs are dead forever. They are right now. But I'm not saying that land is in a completely nonsensical business, although it mostly is. What all that I'm saying is that basically the prices being paid, what you're talking about is just speculative fervor. And yeah, if you buy into a pump, then you have a chance of making money. By and large, most people get wrecked. Like, that's just hands down the way that it works in that scenario. And so that's what's going to happen for most people that are spending at that level. I remember there's one last example I'll give of this, which was during the Mutant Ape drop, when the serums, whenever those serums dropped, basically there were people that spent $50,000+ on the M2 serum. That turned out to be an awful decision at that point in time. And if you mutated it, it was an even worse decision. The only play was to hold it. And then over the long term, you actually could have made your money back at a later date, but it didn't feel good watching the price of that go from, as high as $100,000 down to $3,000. And then eventually came back up to somewhere around like $50,000+. I don't know what it is right now, but the bottom line is that sort of like, by and large, playing that game, you're going to lose. Like, that's just the way that works when you buy things at that ludicrous price. And if you use Bored Ape Yacht Club and punks as examples today, you're basically saying that you have a 1 in 100,000 chance of like having the right call on one of these individual projects. It's maybe slightly better. I'm using basic math to just be like, yo, there's over 100,000 projects. There's actually more than a million on OpenSea, but let's call it 100,000. And so that's your probability of that actually playing out. So if you go buy something for $350,000 outside of like something that has proven track record, it's going to be like, and even then it's going to be difficult for me to be like, yeah, that seems like a completely reasonable purchase decision.
And look, that's fair, man. And the people that are making those buys are going to have to figure out, unless it's money laundering, are going to have to figure out, you know, what exactly plays out and like whether it was a good buy. I find it also hard to believe that it was a good buy. But again, it was worth it to buy like a Bored Ape at 10 ETH.
Last thing. Roblox users are paying like, what, $20 a month, $50 a month, $15 a month. That's how they make their business. So to take a leap from that to six figures is just a major gap. And I don't know what are those like American Doll? I'm thinking of like, I was trying to think of something that's like a spoiled kid sort of toy, basically. And my apologies, you own an American Doll. You bought your daughter an American Doll. Maybe even your son wanted American Doll. I don't know. That's totally up to them. But the bottom line is, I always think of like our FAO Schwartz or one of these other places where there were like these just expensive toys, basically. It seemed like something that was so, these seem like products. There's luxury goods for kids, which seems so out of reach. Could you imagine getting your kid, literally, you could buy a yacht for $350,000. Like, literally, you could like get your child a yacht and go make them a yachting business. Like, there's where you give tours on a yacht. I don't know. You rent out the yacht. You teach them real business skills, but instead you got them some digital fucking land. Get the hell out of here.
Okay. But Nick, last thing, then we're going to throw to Manny. We're going to move on. You know, in that doc that we've been talking about with the art collectors, the guy, he got put on the map for buying a Mondrian that everyone said that he overpaid for in the 70s. I think he paid like $700,000 for a single Mondrian painting. And I feel like that guy doesn't actually regret that. Obviously, you can say that there's much more merit to buying a Mondrian than buying an unproven metaverse land in 2022 by a company that's existed for just over a year. But I mean, I'm just saying it's a similar thing. It's not identical, but it's similar.
Well, what you're saying then is Yuga Labs is just an art company.
No,
basically.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying
that's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying in the 70s, banks did not view art as like a legitimate asset class. It wasn't like you have your stocks, bonds, art, real estate. That's not, it wasn't there yet. And we're not there yet now. If I go to a bank right now for a mortgage and I say, well, I got a mutant ape, they're literally gonna be like, what the fuck are you even talking about? You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm just pointing it out. It's a brave new world here. And I'm not saying to go buy $300,000 Yuga Labs land, right? That guy would definitely be better off, I have to think, just taking that whole $300K and sweeping the whole floor.
We are advising for you to go buy, listener, $350,000 land today, because we know you have the ability to do it. We know you have the ability to go buy a $350,000 plot of digital land. Just go do it real quick, and then we'll have you on the show.
So, Manny, you've had your hand raised. What's on your mind?
Jesus Christ, dude, this was so wild. Easiest thing to talk about here is 112-day break-even with 100 and like with a million daily active users. At day 112, you break even on a Super Bowl ad. You just put up a billboard, lease it out to Mountain Dew, G Fuel, Coca-Cola. Boom, you made your 350 back. This is the same as exploratory mineral rights. You know, it's like a total shot in the dark. But the thing I wanted to talk about was Utes and the decoupling of assets and items and like decoupling the quotas from the land. That's exactly what Utes is doing, like as far as like decoupling traits from themselves and creating like an interconnected trait marketplace. And I think that's where like the real alpha is going to be, is like buying these rare trades, hanging on to them. It's like reselling Supreme streetwear is what I'm pretty excited about. And like Frank was a Y Combinator alumni. So
you always mention that when you're talking about Frank. I love it. But I get
hard
it.
Sleep on that.
It means something. All right, real quick. Utes and / D Gods ecosystem. You know, Easy mentioned that thing, the paper hand bitch tax, which they originally rolled out. It seems like from the beginning, they were interested in doing things with the smart contract that other people hadn't done before. I don't know if that's a fair, I don't know if that's fair.
Very accurate.
Okay, is that the MO? Is like we're trying to push things forward?
They're a team of tech like devs more so than I would say anything else. Like even Frank writes code, and a lot of people don't realize that. So coming from like that avenue, they just have a ton of ideas that they try to implement. And for them, their mantra has always been like, we're going to try stuff. If it sticks, we're going to run with it. If it doesn't, we're going to try some more shit. And like that's something that I think appeals to a lot of people. It shows that they're willing to adapt and innovate. And that was like one of the first things that got people excited, because in Seoul, everyone always like kind of rips on us for like being so quick to undercut one another. And this was an effort to stop that. And if you do undercut and even like sell for a loss, it just rewards the project, which in turn rewards the holders. So they're always trying new stuff, even kind of like rolling with the punches. When 0% royalties came out, they figured out a way to limit any NFT that was exchanged over a 0% royalty, limits how much of their utility token it then earns following, unless they pay a tax to recoup that royalty. So they're always trying to like pivot and innovate and find cool ways to keep adapting and kind of helping them meet their end goals. And they're not really straying away from controversy. If they try something that doesn't resonate well, they almost kind of take it on the chin and fall on the sword. So it's just a different approach than we see from so many projects and attempts at things where people just kind of vanish if it goes south.
Yeah, that trait marketplace seems pretty interesting and novel. I'm curious, Nick brought up Roblox
because that's what Frank keeps comparing it to, like a Roblox store. Like people create stuff in the game that they can resell and allow for additional markets and revenue, even on a smaller scale. And what I thought was really cool was he even said that as an artist, one-of-one artists can benefit from this, because if they create a trait, they get the creator royalties whenever that trait's resold.
The biggest thing there is just the fact that they're like innovating in a major way, and the lack of attention that it generally gets. I mean, although I guess, you know, we're discussing it here.
We're
on
giving
the show,
it attention, baby.
But I think it's something where like they're definitely operating at a high level, and it's in the Solana ecosystem. And so they happen to be one of the leaders in that space, they're the leading project with D Gods. And one other thing that I was just going to say that we like Manny just like glossed over. He basically took all of my comments about land and was just like, you're fucking wrong. And then proceeded to talk about D Gods. We just ignored that for a moment. But I'm just like, he was like, yo, I can give you a 180-day payback period on the land at that price just by signing a deal with a large brand. You're dumb. Now he's off the stage. So
that's what he did. He mic dropped you, Nick. He literally came up. He smacks you with the mic and he dropped it.
Said, and it just was like, you got this all wrong. And actually,
I made a good case.
It was a good case.
He didn't necessarily say you're wrong. He also compared it to like exploratory mining rights, which is highly speculative. And you can very easily clock a straight zero if the land buy is not mineable. But if you hit it, you get massive gain. So I don't think he was completely disagreeing with you. I also think like the whole like you're going to make money with like advertising on your plot of land out of 100,000 plots of lands is also exploratory mining level of speculation. Yeah.
Or 200,000 plots of land.
Is my mic on?
All right, Parmesan. We're going to mute you for a second. Your mic was
I'm,
on.
Yo, I'm lactose intolerant here. We got a cheese on stage. Dude. What's going on?
Stick around on stage, Parmesan. We're going to get to you. But Naked Bear has his hand raised. It says that he's a stone mason. Well, before it said you were a stoned mason, and I thought that was a joke. Now I can't tell if you're actually a stone mason turned JPEG trader. What's on your mind, Naked Bear?
Yeah. I'm a bricklayer stone mason turned JPEG trader. I still do a little bit, but I've been pretty heavy in NFTs for a little while.
You mean it was better to press a button to buy a digital picture and then press another button to sell it for 10x more than literally grinding out stone mason work?
Yeah. A little easier on the back. Just dropping a little bit of alpha. I'm going to be really quick, but there's a new metaverse. I know no one wants to hear about metaverse land, but it's Beyond Earth online. Have you heard of it?
Dot Earth or Beyond Earth?
Beyond Earth.
I don't know Beyond Earth, no.
Okay. It's it's an MMORPG metaverse land kind of game, and the game's launching September 1st, and it's already been in open beta, so the game's done. And you can go in. There's 10,000 plots of land.
I'm seeing you tweet about this thing nonstop since August 6th. Are you affiliated with the team, advising the team, employed by the team in any way?
No.
So you're just obsessed with this thing?
Just obsessed with it. I was early on NFT Worlds, and this is kind of giving me the same type of vibe. So
Beyond Earth. Okay. Beyond Earth.
Yep. And I'm in the Discord every day, and the founder Metaphysics, he's like the developer too, so he's founder and developer. He's been building it for 6 years, and they do live demos in the VC every day.
Okay, so you have 48 of these. I'm on your Twitter. It seems that you have 48 of these. So this is something.
I have 130. Yeah.
You have 130 of these NFTs. So yeah. I'm not terribly surprised that you're talking about them. I'm trying to pull up. So the official collection. What are we typing? Beyond Earthland. Is that the collection?
Beyond Earth Online.
On OpenSea, Beyond Earth Online.
Yeah,
I can't even find.
No, it's Beyond Earth Land. That's
okay.
Yeah.
So there's.
Oh, there's more land.
More land, ladies and gentlemen.
I know.
The floor price is 0.0. Okay. Wait a minute. Gray Boys Community Wallet. So Gray Boys.
Yeah, they just passed a vote to do a sweep from the DAO.
Okay. All right, Naked Bear. Okay, Naked Bear. All right. So you're bringing us a little something here. This isn't like bullshit.
This is a finished product. Game's
it's
ready.
It's not a total shill.
Yeah, it's a bag pump, but it's not like a I'm an advisor for the team bullshit.
What's the name of it?
I'm more or less doing you guys a favor.
How do I find it on OpenSea?
It's called Beyond Earth Land, Nick. The reason I'm, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that my voice is like picking up here is because the community wallet from NFT Worlds, the Gray Boys, which was the second drop by NFT Worlds, apparently according to Naked Bear and according to secondary market activity on OpenSea, decided to sweep the floor on this. So they did a pretty big sweep. And I mean, look, there's 2,500 owners on 10,000 pieces. So the unique ownership needs work, but there is 635 ETH of volume traded, which is decent. And the floor price is 0.09 ETH. So if you're interested in speculating on metaverse land, I think that there's worse bets that you can make. Any closing thoughts before we move on, Naked Bear?
Yeah, it was a free bet. So,
So you're buying somebody. You're somebody's exit liquidity, no matter what.
the founders are putting their money where their mouth is, type thing. So you know it was all out of pocket, and they're just betting on their product, right? So do with it what you want.
Yep, I'm going to hit the little star and I'm going to follow it on OpenSea and we'll see what the story is. The fact that the NFT world's community wallet swept it is obviously something interesting. Dude, you sold two of these things in the sweep. Like two of the sales in the sweep are from you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm selling off. There's a little bit of price.
What the fuck? Jesus Christ.
He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
just
no
that,
big
that
deal.
Part of the game.
Hey, well, ladies and gentlemen, where's your conviction? Naked Bear is trying to get everybody in the audience.
No, no.
Legs of liquidity. Hey. No.
There's some price discrepancy. There's price discrepancy in the rarity of the plots right now. Like you can sell commons and then you can buy rares and epics at a discount. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
Got it. So you're gonna buy another?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm
yeah. This was just a temporary arbitrage. Okay.
Yeah. So it. So one more thing, I'll let you know. So this week the merge goes live, so you can merge two common plots together, make a rare, and vice versa. You can make another merge.
But then, if those are happening, then why would you sell your commons?
Yeah, because commons are high. They're higher value than epics right now. Like an epic's worth four commons, but epics are going for 0.25, and commons are going for 0.1. So. You get what I'm saying? So the epics should be valued at 0.4 right now, but it just the market hasn't kind of repriced yet.
What does it mean should be priced at 0.4? My board ape should be priced at $30 million, it's not.
So you can merge four common plots into an epic plot, and it'll generate more like tokens in-game.
Surely the common should be valued at 0.625 then.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So I'm selling my commons and buying epics right now.
Yeah, there's a temporary pump in the comments, but there's not a promise that the rares are going to be worth anything. You can't like project. The math doesn't work as simple as that when you're trading them. Like all that we see is, you know, artificial demand for one subset of the ecosystem as a result of like the way that they set up the tokenomics of this.
Yeah, you're going to get four times the size of land with an epic plot. Like
wait,
it's all...
one other question. You said there's only one developer.
No, no, no. I think they have like 20 people on the team. It's a whole gaming studio.
There you go. Well, I think there's a lot of, to be clear, actually, and so we had discussed this before where I was saying, dude, every web agency is going to get in the NFT space and they haven't yet. So that's interesting. But also every gaming studio is going to do the exact same thing because like they're also historically underpaid. Artists are underpaid. Gaming studio, like all these places are just underpaid. There's always someone who else can make margin. So when you can go direct to consumer, the way that these things are structured, then there's suddenly a flood of people who are going to be interested in this space. This seems interesting. What you're basically betting on is indie game developers at this point. And whether or not you want to call it, that could be derogatory if this is a AAA game studio. I'm guessing that they're not AAA game studio. No.
They have some pretty good demos like on their YouTube channel. And if you do some digging, it's in the Discord and like the game speaks for like, just watch it and you'll kind of understand like it's pretty legit.
I mean, also when you think of Unity and a lot of these other things, there's a lot of tools available to game developers, which are evolving over time. So there's been essentially sort of, I don't know if I can call it a revolution, but there's been a transformation of the whole gaming ecosystem with I'm blanking on the name. Kix can confirm here, but there's the whatever the app store is where you can go and download all the indie games, and that enabled
Steam.
A business model. Yeah, Steam. So there's a business model for all of the smaller game developers out there. This just expands that, and I think the NFT space does, and that's a great thing. What's difficult for me personally is I'm not deep enough in the game space to make a good assessment as to, you know, what's a good purchase versus what isn't. For example, there was that pump on Pixelmon, which is the worst example. But the thing that was key there was they just used off the shelf games. Now I don't want to say that this team is doing that and they've probably innovated in some way. I can't make a proper assessment of it, but that's the thing where I think we're going to see a lot more of this action. And it's unsurprising that, you know, there's a lot of conversation around that side of things. And this just presents a whole new opportunity for the gaming space as a whole. So we'll see a lot more migration to this, but I would also argue that we're probably going to see within this subset prices move towards something that's comparable to Roblox more so. Although the land ownership is something which we're, the argument is that you're going to be able to monetize that in a more significant way. But there's going to be thousands of games like this. And this to me is its own subset of kind of the internet. I don't want to say the internet bubble, but the 90s internet, where basically your bet is going to be like a one in whatever 10,000 chance that you can actually make a call on which one of those games are going to materialize into something substantial, which if you understand the space is not a bad place to be operating. And it seems like there's also some great short-term speculation opportunity driven just by the tokenomics, but seems cool. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, no thanks for bringing it up. Fran Alations texted me, and Fran has like a partnership with them, and I guess his like sneaker punks, they have a store in the world. So they got a quality collab right there. Shout out Fran Alations as always. Eddie, you have your hand raised, then we'll throw to Parmesan. Eddie, what's going on?
What's up? Yeah, I do want to get back to the D Gods and you know the Utes conversation for just a sec. The Utes, for anyone that isn't like fully clear on what they're doing exactly, that trait store that they're creating isn't like you can go ahead and like, let's say if you had a Bored Ape, it's not like you have a crown, but you can go ahead and switch that to a Bored Ape Yacht Club hat. It's more so if you have a crown, you can get different variations of said crown. If you have a hat, you get different variations of said hat. And also they've got something else that they're working on, which is like, if you can form sub DAOs and communities within the Utes community and then charge potentially entry there, have like fully structured DAO payments and whatnot set up within like whatever they're creating. So that's pretty interesting. But what I will say is like the Utes art, if you haven't seen it already, is in my opinion really good, but it is also clearly a derivative of Bored Ape Yacht Club. Now, I think that can actually be good to preface, right? Like we've seen OK Bears do really well, and they're clearly a derivative. We've seen the Rare Apepes do really well, and again, also clearly a derivative. I do think that like derivative art of Bored Ape Yacht Club can work, especially when done sufficiently differently and sufficiently well, which I think this is. But I also think that points into just like one other point that I want to make. Is that like we've seen Bored Ape Yacht Club again? It was mentioned earlier, but they hit the 1 million follower mark, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was. And it highlights, you know, between all these derivatives from really, really good collections. And then also just, you know, how we're moving as a space, the importance of you know, Yuga like has to succeed, especially now that they also own the Punks IP. Like the two most important NFTs in the space are now both owned by Yuga, and they've hit 1 million followers. Like they have to do really well. And that's also part of my concern behind like, Nick, when you talk about the price action of the Bored Ape land, like the other side land, first off, I fully agree with you. I think it's kind of ludicrous prices right now. And I would like, while I might be bullish on the game on the whole, I would be bullish on the prices if the prices were $50, not $500,000. So yeah, it's like if the price corrects on the land, as one would hope, or like one would think that the market should rationally do, I worry that that's a negative thing for the overall image of Yuga. And when you see like all these promising collections and whatnot, almost basing a little bit of their value off the value of Bored Ape Yacht Club, it just is a little bit worrying to think that like, oh, their first move being a game, like we got to hope that they hit it out of the park, which I'm not so sure that they can do.
That's the big question. Mikey, you have something to add to that? You raise your hand. And we're not going to just do the gaming conversation for the rest of the show, but go ahead, Micah.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my point on like Bored Apes in general or whatever they're doing is like I'm trying to be positive about, you know, success in the space. So investing in one of these projects, I just don't see why you don't pick something in Yuga, because if they don't succeed, I just don't see how other projects even do a percentage of that. Like if you're going to buy a game asset in an MMO for 0.09, you're probably wasting your money if another side isn't worth, you know, six times that or seven times that. Like if I don't see how one of those succeeds and it's not other side.
Right. That's my position. Eddie, go ahead, wrap up.
And just, yeah, and the narrative is less so about the game. It's more so just like it's become clear in the last 2-3 months, at least for me, that Yuga's success is almost tantamount to the NFT world, like the world of NFTs and their success. So regardless of what you think about what their assets are or some of the controversies surrounding Yuga Labs, it's almost like if you want NFTs to succeed, you have to pull for Yuga. And it's become increasingly clear that that's the case, at least as of the current state.
That's the spot I'm in, but we'll see how it all plays out. So we got Gene Parmesan on stage. He's been very interested in coming on the show, DM me more than once. I'm very curious to see what's on Parmesan's mind. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for adding me as thirsty. I didn't DM you that many times. But I think that I agree with Nick, or I disagree with Nick in the sense that I think that he is not bearish enough. You know, I think that right now in this market, I would not, you know, I think you're better off lighting your money on fire than buying an NFT. I would probably go around, if I lived in any city like Austin, you know, Los Angeles, I would go around to homeless encampments and burn my money in front of them so they could feel some warmth before I would buy an NFT. I think that right now, you know, the idea that they are shitcoins with pictures is an insult to shitcoins. Because when I buy shitcoins, I don't have to pay a 2.5% rate. I don't have to pay a 5 to 10%. Royalty rate either. You know, I could just buy shit coins. You know, I could trade in and out of them pretty easily. I have to pay 10% in perpetuity to, you know, a creating team that's gonna, you know, flee with the money. I think right now this NFT market can best be characterized as like the end of a Scorsese movie where everyone is trying to like kind of just grab as much money as possible and get out of town with their lives and without getting arrested. That said, I have bought some NFTs.
we got a Giga Bear who said he'd rather light his money on fire than buy an NFT.
And which NFTs did what did the NFTs do to hurt you? You know, which NFT did you buy?
They were getting to hurt me. I mean, I bought I have a background in corporate finance, so tech media, telecom, investment banking, and then also I've written for some TV shows. So I got into Bitcoin like in November 2013. It was like $300. So I've gotten in and out, I've been in and out of the space since like 2013. I bought some NFTs. But right now I'm just really bullish ETH, and so I think people are gonna really rue the day. When ETH is like probably I think second half of 2024 or first half of 2025, when we're looking at $7,500, $8,000 ETH, people are gonna feel like complete idiots for spending ETH on these JPEGs. I think the blue chips are gonna keep bleeding slowly, while we're gonna have these isolated pumps, like things like rare Pepes and aliens that are going to pump and then dump, and then people are gonna pretend that they're happy, you know, that I minted it for, you know, it was a free mint, or I minted it for, you know, 0.2 or, you know, 0.02, as if that was the only thing they minted, because you're obviously a degen if you're buying these things. So you're probably doing a shit ton of free mints, and then, you know, the one aliens and the one rare Pepes is not gonna pay for all of that. So I think that, right now, they're just not really, I actually have zero conviction in the space right now, but it's not in the sense that like, oh, because the prices are low. Because, you know, when the prices for ETH were, you know, $1,000 like a month or so ago, I had a lot of conviction in ETH, and I doubled and tripled down on ETH and just on tokens in general, because they have utility. And also I think that we need to really see real capitulation. So when I was really excited about a month or two ago when I started seeing suicide hotline numbers in the Reddit for cryptocurrencies. You know,
we got it, Parmesan. We got it. What I will say is you said
this
that
guy's
you've been
on
in,
the ledge.
He's on the ledge.
On the ledge looking down right now and saying and calling in. Step on the ledge.
No, Parmesan, foolish. We got it. And what I was gonna say is like since if you've been in and out since 2013, it definitely would have been better to just stay in. And that's actually something that we talked about earlier in the show. So that can be a lesson for everybody, is that you gotta stay in. If you're in and out and in and out, maybe you'll get like some short-term profits. Like you bought Bitcoin at $300 and then you sold it at $900 and then you kind of didn't pay attention to the space. When you stay in, that's how you end up, you know, getting literally millions just for owning assets, which is crazy. Like you don't even have to be an entrepreneur to make millions. So that's something for people to pay attention to. So we got a Moonbird on stage. We got Low Mint. Your description says NFT brain is real. it sounds like you're an active participant if you have NFT brain.
Yes,
what's
sir.
On your mind, Low Mint?
Well, yeah, I don't want to talk about CCO. No one does. But
please don't.
Something that's been missed is, you know, there's an interesting catalyst coming up with the birds, and obviously I'm bullish, but I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts. There's the future proof event at the end of the month where, I mean, basically the roadmap's going to be revealed, and they haven't shown a roadmap at all. There's this idea that Highrise is going to be this decentralized social platform. Maybe there's Moonbirds Ravens. But with the collection at like an all-time low sentiment-wise, I was just wondering what you guys think would pull it out of the mud, if anything, since people seem to have turned on our boy Cairo.
I think action is what's going to do it. I mean, look, we got Eddie, Node, and Quad that all have Moonbirds. I'm sure that they'd all be thrilled to step in here. We haven't heard from Node today. Let's hear from Node, and then we're just going to move on from Moonbirds just because we've talked about it a lot. And I appreciate you coming on stage, Low Mint, and wanting to discuss it. I totally get it. We just happen to have talked about Moonbirds quite a bit over the past week. But yeah, Node, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick. I will say if Moonbirds gets under 10 ETH, I'm going to be scooping. And I said this yesterday on Twitter, all my favorite people are Moonbirds, you know? So that's super bullish. You know, Kix is a Moonbird, Signal's a Moonbird, Quad's a Moonbird. So if you got a bird, I just automatically like you. So that's basically if you don't, you know, you're tier 2 and
fuck you,
know, you can get there, but
I dropped out of that one. Ouch.
Eddie, yeah, get on board, dude. You seem like a Moonbird personality.
I thought Eddie had a Moonbird.
It's literally in his background, but punks are so boomer they can't see that.
I actually have one.
Yeah, he's a Moonbird.
Good. I heard you say it. I thought it was, yeah, you're right. Okay, I am a boomer, but you know what? There's wisdom in the boomers, dude. So be careful, Young Easy. You know, respect your elders.
I love spicy Node. I did not expect Node to basically say, if you have a Moonbird, I like you. If you don't, that's okay, but you're just kind of mid. You're kind of tier 2, you know, at the end of the day.
Oh, that's, yeah. I forgot to say mid. That's what the young kids say, right? Yeah, mid.
That's what the young kids say. So look, we got Cryptopolis. Cryptopolis is a member of the Nifty Portal Discord. He's also the free mint king, okay? I appreciate you shouting out Nifty Portal in your description. You always bring an interesting spin to the show. You're a different type of dude. If I recall correctly, you literally live in Bali. Let me have it, Cryptopolis. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to get your opinion on pixel art as fine art, and in particular, this new project called Genuine Undead, which is my profile picture.
How many did you buy?
Opinion on it. I bought 10.
Okay.
I sold 5 to cover my costs. Mm-hmm. I have 2 listed for 0.29, 0.69, 4 unlisted. I recently bought one for 0.033. But I just
and it was a free mint?
I missed the free mint. But I wanted to get your thoughts, in particular Nick, on the fine art play with pixel art and if you guys think this looks cooler than a CryptoPunk.
And I want to throw it to Nick in a second. So Popcan in the Discord or like Bonsai's, our mods, they're chiming in right now because they're like, wow, he's learning. Because you used to do the free mints, you used to get like 100 of them. They would run up to like 0.1, 0.2, 0.5, you know, maybe even 1 ETH in some cases. And you used to just hold them all. You wouldn't sell any of them, right? And so people would be like, take some damn profits. Have you turned over a new leaf?
Well, I don't mint 100 of a free mint, first of all. But yeah, I've turned over a new leaf. I mean, I try to sell some to cover my costs, but you know, I'm not glued to my phone. I think, yeah, I mean, I covered my costs on this one, but that's a good strategy. I appreciate the community. You know, I really took an L on the Ghostly Ghosts. I could have made like $60,000. Funny side story. I did just dump them all the other day, and you know, I made like what, $1,000,
dude. You are the funniest bastard, Nick. Go ahead and please answer his question about the fine art. He left $60,000 on the table with Ghostly Ghost. Gotta love it. True NFT participant.
Ghostly Ghost. What the fuck,
Nick? Ghostly Ghost was gonna be it. It wasn't worth it to sell them for $60,000. It wasn't worth it.
Well. Hold on a sec. I did sell 5 of them and I made like $10,000. So I didn't yeah.
That's pretty good.
So in terms of this project in particular, fine art, debatable. But I like, I mean, I like the art on this. Does it look better than Punk's? Like, that's like being like, do I think that this is, there's a million things that look better than CryptoPunks, but they're not CryptoPunks.
From a pixel art perspective, pixel art, this, to me, this pixel art has more depth. It has different traits, unique traits. It just looks more serious. You know, when you compare it to a Punk doesn't have as much depth, in my opinion. It looks kind of like 2D, where these look 3D. That's all.
I think they look cool, man. I think that they look very neat. Like, would I frame one? Maybe. Like, I'd frame it definitely if the price went up, and then I'd suddenly be like, yo, look at that thing that I own. Wow, that's so cool. But, the bigger question, which is, can pixel art be fine art? And the answer to that is yes. And I think we're going to see more of that. Will this project be categorized as such? That's debatable. I don't know enough about this, but like, we've seen multiple projects where people come in and they're like, yo, I uncovered this project from 1937 when the blockchain first existed. And you got to understand at that time, you know, people didn't realize that was Great Depression era when people were trading NFTs, that first depression that we went through with NFTs. And so these are the future. And then suddenly they pump them. People sell out of them. They make their bags and they end up leaving. There's a number of those that we've seen. And which is, I feel like, the underlying question of what you're saying here, which is, do you think that this project's going to have any relevance? And the short answer is no. But I think they look cool, and I don't know enough about it. And I said no without any insight whatsoever as to this project. I just said it because based on your past trades. But I've also bought a bunch of shit. So if you're going to ask any project that I purchased, if it's going to become the next blue chip, you'd have a 90%+ chance of being correct by saying no.
And I want to hear from Node, the fine art collector, but I just got to ask Cryptopolis, do you ever buy NFTs that are like on the quasi expensive side, or for you, is it free mint only? Like, you like to kind of do that quasi gamble where it's like, okay, it's low cost, maybe I'll make some money on it, or will you buy, like, you know, semi expensive NFTs?
I don't really buy semi expensive. I mean, I think the most expensive thing I bought recently was I minted the sneaker punks. That sneaker heads. It was a 0.25.
Oh, right, right. Yep.
You know, but that was a guaranteed win with the aftermarket. I mean, with the secondary. So no, I don't do the blue chip thing. I mean, I'm not a subscriber. I either buy low cost or free mint. That's my thesis, because there's more upside, less risk, and maximum upside versus what's been happening with the blue chips.
Fair. You're one type of market participant. Node, you raised your hand. There was something you wanted to add to this.
Yeah, I mean, I actually like the art. I think it looks nice. But I'm totally with Nick on it. It's like, I would say if you were an artist trying to launch a piece of fine art, a 10K PFP collection is not what you do. Like, that's just not, there's been about 50,000 of those in the last year. And so in terms of innovative, there's zero things that are innovative about it. But, you know, like, the art does look okay, but lots of things look okay. And the difference is that Punk's inspired everything, which is kind of what gives it its place in history. So if you're looking at like fine art or any kind of art, I would look at things that are not PFPs as just a standard rule at this point.
Yeah. And Eddie, you raise your hand. Anything to add before we move on?
Yeah, I just think that if you're going to look at this as like a historical perspective, for you to have sold the Ghostly Ghosts, which are like the very first of the cross-chain NFTs and actually were both historical in that sense and added to the NFT ecosystem, I don't see what these can at all compare in terms of like literally just comparing to Ghostly Ghosts, and you just dumped those the other day. So I would probably recommend considering the same here. Also with very little understanding of like the actual ongoings of this project, but just my like 2 cents there.
That's Eddie's 2 cents. Cryptopolis, anything else before we move on?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, with this project, it's just about the art. I thought it was cool, and that's why I got it. Seriously. It's not okay. about price go up. It's just I think they look cool.
They do.
I want to use it as my PFP. That's all. Thank you for your perspective.
I'd even consider buying one just because it looks cool. I don't have enough ETH in my wallet, and I think that's probably a good thing.
Is it like 0.01? Do you literally have nothing in your wallet?
I basically have 0.01 in my hot wallet right now.
So like, sorry guys, I really can't afford this one. It's the smallest amount of ETH possible, but
I just tried. I said not enough ETH in my wallet. I have 0.016 in my wallet, and it wouldn't let me do the transaction.
Nice. Well, one thing I will mention, you know, we had a great conversation with Brinkman yesterday in the Discord. And, you know, if you learn, like, the more that I'm learning about the art industry, it's like the one opportunity, Cryptopolis, that you could have is if all of a sudden it came out that, like, some famous artist was behind this, right? And then all of a sudden we'd all be like, oh, that's art. You know what I mean? Like, because of the branding. So if they're that's the other kind of half of the equation, I feel like, with art in general is, you know, someone has to kind of bless it, or the artist needs to have a brand or develop that brand. And until that happens, everything's a crapshoot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reasonable take note. Micah G, your hand's raised and we can wrap.
Speaking of art, Tezos. I feel like I saw a few things about big Tezos sales.
So what's happened? Is there a rotation to fine art on Tezos right now? Is there proper liquidity there right now?
That's the thing is I haven't dug into it enough. I don't know if someone else here has actually tried, but like Node? There was a big sale like on, I don't know, like a main artist there for a decent amount of US dollars worth of money. So I don't know if people are just rotating there because they're bored.
Node?
Yeah, we talked to Brinkman said this yesterday. It's like Tezos is just very open, and there's, you know, it's very cheap for artists to, you know, get out there and create work and mint stuff. And so it's a little bit of like on FX Hash, for example, you know, according to Brinkman, it's like, you know, there's tons and tons of things that are being launched there all the time. It's free and open. It's just so very like wide open that sometimes you got to be careful. Like maybe some artists are literally copy pasting other people's code, you know, and then just like doing their own collections. But he referred to it more as like, it's like the indie artists chain, you know what I mean? So there's lots of artists that have their work on Tezos, like legit ones too, like Pop Wonder's over there, Schwembelder's done stuff over there. I think even Tyler Hobbs. So there's cool stuff happening. It's there's a little community there for sure. And it's, I think the analogy of it being like the indie artists like playground is an apt one. So maybe you can find some cool stuff. My personal experience with Tezos though is like, for whatever reason, it's just everything's at a discount over there. You know, like I own Pop Wonder pieces over there and they're worth like, I don't even know, probably not even 10% of what his work on Tezos, what his work on ETH is worth. So there's just like a built-in discount, but there's been a lot of activity. And, you know, Witters from the Nifty portal is going to do a mastermind on it on Thursday. So if you're in the Nifty portal, hop on in.
Yeah, I want to definitely pay attention to this. We got someone in the audience that we won't have time to bring up today, but they reached out to me. Name is KD, K. DeAngelis de la Creme, so hell of a name. And he claims to be a crypto art collector, specifically on Tezos. So KD, I see you, and definitely come back tomorrow. We'll throw to you and try to, if you could, just have some numbers surrounding the liquidity on Tezos, because that's kind of, you know, the volume. That's the biggest question. Quad, you had your hand raised. A final thought?
Yeah, I was just going to chime in about how much I love Tezos. Like, you know, I know we joke around like here for the art on Ethereum, and we're definitely not here for the art on Solana because the art is trash over there. But when it comes to Tezos, it truly is the most fun I've had collecting things that like I just think look good. Not price go up, not price go down. And really, most of the pieces there cost $10 to $15 at most. I would actually say most of the pieces cost under $5. So you can really go there and just browse and, you know, spend $4 here and 2 Tez here and 3 Tez here and like truly collect things that you don't care about the price at all and like you truly love. And that's the interesting thing I think about Tez is like, if you want to go have some fun, like actual legit fun, go to Tezos and buy some shit you think looks cool.
100%. I'll just say my Tezos collection, it just looks good. It looks better than my ETH collection if you just were to look at the art. So 100% agree with you there.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to understand if there's a way to wrap. I'm not trying to throw shade at Tezos, but if there is a way to wrap the Tezos NFTs, and if you wanted to, like maybe you're more bullish on an individual artist or piece. And I know it's not about number go up, but I just mean if people are buying these digital assets, they want to make sure that they can have them forever and probably so that they can properly display them. So I'd want to know, like whether you can actually wrap those and get them on another blockchain. If maybe you're more bullish or more interested in an individual artist or piece versus the blockchain itself. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern. We appreciate everybody listening. There was a little bit of a extra bearish sentiment today. And just remember, this isn't any kind of like we're all going to make it talk, but the bottom line is that the technology in the NFT space just isn't going anywhere. And even if we're in a bear market, even if we haven't seen bottom yet, you already know people are building and people are going to stick around. So you should stick around too if you're interested. See you guys tomorrow.